Hey, do you know what the date is today? It is 1/11/2011. On the front of Shatter the Darkness site, it says the events, the chaos, and the buzz that rocks the first 10 days of 2011. Well, today's the 11th day. Noticing to my right the picture of the shooter in Arizona, the family's going to release a statement. I don't have time to look at it. We'll bring it up maybe later on. Listen, this is Russ Dizdar, Shatter the Darkness broadcast live, 6 p.m. on a Tuesday night. Yeah, it is the 11th of January, and we're going to jump into a second part of what we started last night because we ran out of time, and it is too big an issue, and there's too many issues involved in all of it to have left it alone. So I'm going to go over quickly the 10 indicators or clues to look for if there is a shooting that is done by a programmed assassin. We're going to look at some of the information on that. Now, the body of this message tonight will deal with six critical issues: spiritual warfare, programmed to kill, drugs that open doors, the reality of mind control. Number five is SRAMPD, hundreds of thousands of sleepers. And then six, massive response. I'll deal with that in the second half of the show tonight. But right now, listen to these. Well, it's a boy. He was into Satanism. He got a book from a babysitter that gave him occult-oriented books. He got into stuff as he grew up, and he was somewhat of a loner and kicking around with some others, and he got into, the dark side. And he had an altar in his closet where he engaged the powers. He drank blood. On the night that he killed his mother, on the night that he killed his stepfather, Sean Sellers tells how he went into where his altar was. He took off the protective pentagram or amulet that he had on his chest, and he says in the interview that he felt his chest expand. He was charged spiritually. He walked out and he shot his mother in the head and killed her, and he shot his stepfather. He said afterwards, he laughed in a satanic glee, cleaned himself up, left, went to his friend's house as if he wasn't home. The body's being found later, and he came home to fake as though he knew nothing of it. Sean Sellers was eventually, charged with the crime and on death row, and, in the very end, they took his life. Can powers be involved in indiscriminate killing? What about dark presence? Now, you're not going to see it on any of the news reports and blogs and so forth that are looking for the psychological. They're looking for the outward. Let me say again, this boy, Jared, it's not just a lonely, angry boy. It's not just a guy that's mad because he heard a lot of political jargon by talk show hosts out there. That'll be used by some to try to curb freedom of speech. You watch. You fight against it. We're going to talk about the presence of dark spirits guiding this kind of slaughter. We're going to look into mind control and the reality of it. And then we're going to, we're going to tell you a few things that are going on. Big things, I think, that are going on. Let me tell you about the conferences we've been invited to. Fort Wayne, Indiana. This is April the 1st and 2nd, 2011. And it's called the Politics of Religion. You can go to shatterthedarkness.net and scroll down a little ways, and you'll see the speakers, including Derek Gilbert and Chris White and Andrew Hoffman and others. You're going to see all the speakers, and they've invited me to come to, and my session will be on, it'll be on the politics of the government that will end human history. So that's going to come up, and I hope that you're going to come. I hope listeners all over and throughout the Midwest will come. In the last conferences, folks, friends from up to 18 states have joined us in St. Louis and Nashville and Michigan and many other places. So we're going to pray for you to come and be a part, and we are excited about being permitted to come to the, well, the Politics of Religion Conference. It's coming up April the 1st and 2nd there in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Now, there is a second conference just connected, just given to me tonight. At first, it was going to be called the New England Conference, so that's what I saw on the email. But it's called Seeing, or literally just See, S-E-E. And it's going to engage everything about the paranormal and the supernatural and UFOs and dark spirits and ghosts and all these things put together. Now, this is going to be the 27th, 28th, 29th, March. March 27th, 28th, 29th. It's going to be up there in Connecticut. And now we've already got it listed on our website, and we will put up the details and website information when we get that. So that's all coming up, and we're excited about that. We may be even doing a small conference here locally. Shelley, my wife, that's been teaching and doing, conferences and sharing for many, many years now, has now a podcast broadcast called Light Along the Way. And focusing on women, and I'm noticing both men and women that are downloading her podcast. It's already up. We've got a link to Light Along the Way on the ShatterTheDarkness.net site for all the ladies out there. She's got it Facebooked also. So that's we're gonna see about doing a conference together, her and I, on the principles of spiritual warfare. And so be looking for that probably in May locally. But I'm excited about the first two conferences in Connecticut, March 27th, 28th, 29th, 3 days, and then in Fort Wayne, the Politics of Religion. That's going to be big in April, the first week in there. So take a look at it. Let me mention also, if you're a listener from, Boulder City, Nevada, all of you, dear friends, satellite-wise, listening all over, the internet all around the world, and literally the archives up to, just these archives alone, ours alone may be up to some 80 countries that are downloading all over. So we're glad to have you, and we welcome you, and the Russians and those in China, and we're looking at Hong Kong, and we're looking at Manila, and we're looking at Alaska and friends in Canada and all over. So down there in South Africa and on the islands. And so we're just simply saying blessings in the name Yesu Christu, Jesus Christ, to you. Listen, the greatest experience in life is coming to know God, coming to know Christ. Salvation is the explosive answer God has given to the fallen, the fallen human race. It's all about conquering death, conquering sin, conquering evil, opening up the gates to indestructible immortality. And Jesus Christ, unlike anything, anyone you've ever seen, take a look, the Gospels, I encourage you, and especially in 2011, as you're looking at how fast things are going, you know, bombs and threats of bombs in post offices and many other places, four of them this year already, so many crazy things, and we want you to know that as long as God gives us the airtime, we're going to try to bring you the best. And we want you to know on our website, there are courses, training courses on the Holy Spirit, on spiritual warfare, spiritual gifts, theology. As a matter of fact, as the new newsletter comes out, it looks like we're able to fix the broken links to our old courses. But there's probably about close to 500 hours of MP3s across the board, Freedom Encounters, Theocentric Counseling, and the Black Awakening that involves the concept of programmed assassins. 24 hours of that. I'm going to be connecting tomorrow on the website. It's absolutely free for everybody. It used to go just with the book, and I think it's vital to listen to those as you also read the book, The Black Awakening. Obviously, many people are interested now because that book is all about programmed assassins, what's coming down the road. As a matter of fact, on a radio show tonight, The Micro Effect, the radio host is True Ott, and at 10 p.m. tonight, Tuesday night, the 11th, they're going to have me come on to do interview to discuss the shooting in Arizona, the shooter Jared, other shootings like it, programmed assassins, and the things that are behind this, the book The Black Awakening and all that it involves. And then we're going to talk about, they have an MK Ultra, was a victim, coming out of it, Victor now. And they're going to be on, too, that I've been told. So that's tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you want to find the link, again, go to shatterthedarkness.net, and you'll see right under the Tuesday showtime, there is a special link to the Micro Effect tonight. And looks like we're going to be on Saturday night. I'll mention a special 3-hour program that we've been invited to be on that deals with the Nephilim, and we're going to look forward to that also. You know what I got to tell you today? I was contacted, and I was asked about conspiracy and all this information that we're bringing out, and doesn't it create fear? Doesn't it create things like that? And I want to bring about a 10-minute answer to the issue of conspiracy and fear, and whether we shouldn't say anything at all, or whether we should let all the blood and guts of what's going on, you know, come out. Listen, we're living in a world where the greatest conspiracy is now manifesting itself as never before in human history. Psalm chapter 2, God himself asks in biblical literature, why do the peoples and the nations and the kings, now listen, there's a conspiracy. They are conspiring together to make a stand against God. So when someone says, well, isn't all this conspiracy junk just baloney, and isn't it just fear-mongering and things like that, I wonder whether they're living in denial, whether they're being faithful to what they need to be doing in giving a heads up to everybody else, whether they understand the time we're living in. Because billions worldwide, they all know there's something in the air. You know, you look at all the streams of information, even the web bot with all of its millions of bytes of information is declaring, you know, conspiracy issues and so forth. And Jesse Ventura is on, and conspiracy issues on Friday night here too. Now, conspiracy. Are there those that conspire? Is there a shadow government? Is there shadow military? Is there a, as the Bible calls it, a secret power of lawlessness already supernaturally operative? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And the Word of God says yes. So we've got to sort out what is clearly biblically evident and contemporarily seen from just quackery, of course. You know, nobody here in all of our literature, and even the book we put out that brings great alarm. Now, I had somebody in my home. They might be listening tonight. Blessings to them, their family. They came out of mind control, satanic ritual abuse, military father, background. They're in a wheelchair to this day. And sitting at my table, they were in our location here over the Christmas time, and sitting at my table and eating with us and fellowshipping with us, after all these years of her freedom and her deliverance in Christ, she said she was afraid to read the book, The Black Awakening, about the creation of programmed super soldiers and so forth. And I was shocked. And so I gave them copies, and they're going to be digging into it. Because let me tell you something, it is one of the greatest heads up that I know of. It is massively intended with 664 pages to give a heads up. And to call believers into knowing what time it is, what information is there, what's really going on, and how to be bold as lions in the end of days, how the righteous should be as bold as lions, and how we should respond to all of this. God does not want us to, like an ostrich, put our heads in the sand. Denial of all that's going on will solve nothing. Just to say, I love Jesus and that's all that matters, well, that's a good thing, but that's not what Jesus taught. When it comes to conspiracy, Matthew chapter 24, Jesus begins talking about the last days. He tells, let no one deceive you. In the end of days, many will come in my name and claim they're the Christ. They're gonna try to deceive many people. He talks about wars and rumors of wars and kingdom against kingdom. He talks about the decadence. He talks about the evil. Jesus Christ is giving a heads up when he says that it's going to be a day and an hour of the greatest destruction in human history, such as the world has never seen or ever will see again. He is talking about history outside of anything ever seen, experienced in all these thousands of years. Jesus talks about the conspiracy, talks about what's going to happen, talks about the events, talks about what to be prepared for and ready for, Matthew 24. Was he fear-mongering? Absolutely not. He was given excellent, cutting-edge, infallible, accurate, heads-up information. You listen, anybody living in denial over that chapter, anybody hiding in their heads in the sand over that chapter, we could be derelict in our spiritual duties by not revealing all of Scripture. What about Judas and how Satan entered him and he betrayed Christ? Telling that story, does that create fear? What about reading 1 Peter chapter 5, telling us to be self-controlled and alert because we have an enemy? He's prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Are we not supposed to speak on that? I wonder if Peter would have had a better heads up, better information, better knowledge, better preparation when they were sitting in that Last Supper with Jesus. Jesus knew who was in the room. He said, Simon, Simon. In the plural, in the Greek, he said, Satan has asked to sift all of you guys, literally destroy all of you guys. Wouldn't you rather have the heads up instead of just being hit, being blindsided? See, that's part of what biblical revelation is all about. That's part of the victory in spiritual warfare and the victory of knowing that there's an enemy. The Spirit of God tells us in Ephesians 6 that your warfare is not against flesh and blood. That there are dark powers, cosmocrators, archon. There are rulers in the heavenly realms. They're against you. And it talks about putting on the armor of God. Now again, when we don't teach, disciple, preach, give heads up, give preparation, then I think that we contribute to defeat in the lives of other believers. We contribute to the lost world sinking down without warning, without alert, without being told this is what's coming down the pike. All around the world, there's discussion about the Antichrist. But God has given massive information out of Daniel, out of 2 Thessalonians 2, out of 1 John 2, out of the book of Revelation. Is God, the Spirit of God, just giving fear? Is he just producing, you know, stuff? There are some people that are afraid to read the book of Revelation. Well, I've heard people again and again say, man, when I read the book of Revelation, that scares me. Well, if you're lost, it should. And you're talking about what Jesus talked about in the end of days. In the end of days, the most spiritual, decadent, manifest, demonic, seducing time in human history. More cults, more Satanism, more demon manifestation, more demon possession, more than ever in all of history. more counterfeit signs, wonders, miracles, doctrines. All of those things is what the Bible teaches. Do we want to be students of the Word of God, all of it? Or do we want to live in la-la land? I just want to feel good. I just want to be happy. I just want to love Jesus and not think about any of this stuff. I don't want to have any fear. Listen, it's not about that. Jesus, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the Book of Revelation, it's intended to give a heads up, an alert. And the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus would call us to take up the cross and follow Christ, to become bold as lions, to be clothed with the power of the Spirit of God and the boldness that God gives, to learn how to become more and more powerful. Now, listen, there are those that would think that the four horsemen of Revelation 6, that sharing that information is scaring everybody. If you want to live in denial, if you want to live with your head in the sand, if you want to live without the heads up, I believe that's weakness. I believe that is being set up for defeat. I believe that people become taken unawares without cutting edge, preemptive, infallible, accurate, from God, this information. God gives warnings. God gives a strong warning. Revelation chapter 6, the white horse, the red horse, the black, and the pale. Have you read this? In prophetic drama, massive communication about a sequence of the end time events. The spirit of Antichrist, the rise of Antichrist. And then all of a sudden, you read it for yourself, the red horse. It declares a global scale chaos, taking peace from the earth. It involves something that causes mankind, human beings, to butcher one another. That's why it's the red horse. It deals with great butchery and bloodshed and what is to come. And the Spirit of God, God has given a heads up. And the first chapter in the book of Revelation, what does it tell us? It tells us that there's a blessing if we read it, blessing if we hear it read out loud, and blessing if we keep the prophetic revelation. Apocalypse, Jesu Christu. You read the first chapter and you have a quote from the book of Daniel already there. That quote out of the book of Daniel, already placed in the first chapter of the book of Revelation, ties in the Spirit-given dots of Revelation. It brings a warning to those without Christ in the end, when every eye shall see. They're going to mourn in the end. What's it all about? Now, either you're going to choose to say, I just want to be happy in Jesus. I just want to be in a safe church where we just have good things to say and flowers at the altar. And I just want to be free from any deep concern. Then I'm afraid that you might be one that would refuse to read prophetic revelation about the Antichrist, about the false prophet, about the abyss opening up, about earthquakes that are going to occur, about persecution worldwide that will occur, about wars and rumors of wars, about Revelation chapter 6, red horse, black horse, pale horse, 2 billion people or more that are going to die. And what about Armageddon? What about the mother of all rituals, Revelation 16? So all of it's there. You can either be, as a believer, a faithful teacher, disseminator, preacher of all of Scripture, preparing others and yourself, and from this information, gaining from God greater courage, greater boldness. You read the book of Acts. These believers lived under threat where they had to be taken to the wall and lowered in a basket to escape. They were in prisons where angels had to come and open the doors. They were chased and pursued from one city to another to be persecuted. There was the prophet Agabus that gave a prophecy about massive famine. And without that revelation from God, the early church wouldn't have been prepared. So whether you want to be prepared and bold and strong and in ministry, or whether you want to live in the sand, in denial, and just glibly saying that it's all conspiracy, crazy stuff. There are some of those crazy things out there that have no roots in biblical revelation. Everything that we bring up concerning contemporary issues, I think it's very clear from all that we have done, everything in the book that we've written, and in the two books to come out in the next 2 months, deeply biblical, with the call to serve Christ, with the call to be clothed with power, with the call to become bold. And you know what I believe? That the heads-up information, the cutting-edge information that God gives with His presence will make you bolder and stronger and more able, becoming a powerful prayer warrior, a great witness for Christ, someone that's able. I hear people, Christians, that say, I'm afraid, you know, just like they're afraid. Well, this is all conspiracy stuff. Biblical revelation unveils the satanic conspiracy. There is conspiracy. There is shadow government. There is an underground regime. There are possibly 100 million satanic, ritually abused individuals worldwide. There are those that are trying to prepare for war, Iraq, North Korea, Venezuela, Yemen, terrorism, United States, Middle East, Israel. It's not about fear if you know God, His presence, His power, the living Christ. The information should empower you, not weaken you. That's our goal in what we're going to bring out even tonight. It's all about empowerment and great courage in Christ. And we need every believer to be so. Let me also mention in the context of all of this, Ephesians 5 commands the church, did you know this? Expose evil deeds of darkness. First of all, how do you know them if you don't look or research? Second of all, how do you stay obedient to the Word of God if you don't expose? And when you expose some of the blood and guts of the underground, of the dark side and all that it's going to do, well, for some that will scare them. For some that are weak, lost, and have no courage, it may be used in the context of evangelism. Get prepared. That's what prophets did of old. That's what Jeremiah did to Israel for 20 years, trying to prepare them, trying to tell them, trying to move them out of the coming judgment. There are those that laugh. The Bible prophesies. There are those that will scoff. They'll be glib. They'll be lighthearted. They'll make fun. They'll literally make fun of those who are really bringing out the stuff. In the book of Peter, God talks about the scoffers and those who are cynical about the end of days and the events leading up to the coming of Christ. Let me ask you a question tonight. Would you rather know and be empowered by God or be completely blindsided? I believe that when the Nazis were rising with the spiritual powers, the final solution, the deep secrecy. It is said in the book, Hitler and the New Age by Bob Rozio. Great book to get, by the way. You can only find it on like Amazon or whatever nowadays. Hitler and the New Age by Bob Rozio. I used to have about 50 copies, gave them all away. Got them all out there. But in the book, he talks about deception always leading to destruction. He's correct. And he unveils what many others who've studied the Nazi regime and all that it was has seen. The dark powers that guided the Nazi ideology led and fostered and forged in secret rooms and castles and underground places. a final solution. The Inner Core knew the thousand-year Reich that they wanted to build, the occult Aryan godmen that they wanted to develop, the Levensborn genetic projects. They were the ones that were behind the scenes that developed the final solution. They were, when the world didn't know, when the Germans, many Germans didn't know, they were slaughtering hundreds of thousands to the point of millions in the camps, Auschwitz. And Bob Rozio reveals in his book, Hitler in the New Age, that during this time there were like 8,000 pastors. I think that the numbers were 8,000 pastors in Germany. And he mentions that only 200, including Bonhoeffer, stood in resistance to the occult, satanic, Luciferian revelation that built the political ideology that led to the science, the psychology, the mind control, the development of genetic breeding and looking for the Aryan Godman, the slaughter of hundreds of thousands to the point of millions by a secret project. Was there conspiracy there? Yes. Did they need whistleblowers? Yes. Were there very many? No. When they began to hear about it, did they look into it and give warning? Did anybody give a heads up? Some of the Jews got out in advance. Some of them knew. Some of the Christians helped some, you know, sneak out and protected them. But there are others that live in denial. And they look at conspiracy, they look at secret things like this, and they say, and they laugh it off, and they want to just live happily ever after. While they were living happily ever after, Jews were being put into shower rooms, gassed, stacked up by the thousands, and shoveled here and there by big tractors, bulldozers, and then put into the ovens that were designed, created, and maintained and used by a regime spiritually guided by occult revelation. Who knew? Where were the exposers then? Where were the ones screaming out, Auschwitz, Auschwitz? Where were they at? Where were those that were screaming back in the 50s when it all began, the rest around the world, and the mind control projects showed up? I think there's a lot of ignorance. I think that those that live in denial, those that live in chosen denial, just saying, well, be happy in Jesus. Can I ask a question? What good will you be? Will you be able to pray in power? Do you use the authority of Christ to pray against dark powers? I mean, do you follow the obedient in obedience, Ephesians chapters 4 and 5 about exposing? Do you, and are you a part of the mission that would involve saving, healing, delivering, and protecting and rescuing at times victims of radical evil? If you understand and remember the final solution, that is only a little small pamphlet compared to Hell's Kitchen's global project. So I'm going to continue to give grave warning. I'm going to continue to bring out all of the blood and guts of the things that are going to occur with a call to those of you that don't know Christ, that God loves you, that you need Christ, that you can come to Him now and God summons you now, and that you need the salvation, not counterfeit spirit guides and New Age spirituality that never leads you to God but deepens the deception. I'm going to continue to expose radical evil all the way to the footstep or the door of Antichrist, if possible. If you want to live in fear and cover up and give the dark side a free reign to develop, if you want to live in denial and you want to live hiding out and you want to live saying, I just want to be happy in Jesus only, I don't want to hear about anything else, I don't want to know about anything else, then let me ask you a question. Is that the epitome of a real disciple of Jesus Christ, taking up the cross to follow Christ? Is that the epitome of a real believer that understands the spiritual battle where Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail? Is that the epitome of a believer where the Spirit of God with power? See, fear does drive many people into denial. It drives many individuals into, well, I don't want to know about this. I don't want to read that book. I don't want to know about this information. And keep you, I believe, set up for defeat. Keep you out of the loop, blindsided. I mean, believers that I've met over the years as a pastor that don't know anything about spiritual warfare and the reality of an enemy prowling, seeking to devour, that is a failure of those who have not taught the Word of God clearly for the victory and the empowerment of believers. God intends His people to be blessed, to be loved, to be encouraged, to be given and clothed experientially with God the Holy Spirit, power, boldness. Acts 9:22, that you would continue to grow more and more powerful. You can live in fear if you want, but I'm not going to. You can live in fear and say, I don't want to hear about it, but I'm going to keep on screaming. I'm going to continue to be led by the Spirit of God, guided by the Holy Spirit, using the Word of God, looking at the realities that are around us, and speaking out like a Jeremiah. Speaking out like a Nehemiah, doing what Daniel had to do. There are those that are afraid to pray against the dark side for fear that the dark side will come after them. And I'm saying then you're living in lack of biblical revelation in your life, disobedience to the Word of God, and you grieve and you quench the fire of the Holy Spirit. What is needed in the end of days are powerful believers, knowledgeable believers, capable believers, those who can look at the blood and guts and say, you know what? The dark rivers of Satan's work is up to the edge, and here's how where it's coming, and here how it's coming quick. Let's stand in the presence of God. Let's quote the Word of God. Let's put our prayers up. Let's stand until we're either taken out of here, killed. What do you fear? What do you fear? I believe, with all the information God gives, with all the heads up, if anybody gives alarming information, it's Jesus, Matthew 24. It's the Holy Spirit in the rest of the New Testament. It is God that has given the book of Revelation. You read about the red horse, black horse, and the pale horse, Revelation 6. What it does to me, let me tell you what it does to me. Let me tell you when I hear about some satanic ritual abuse person and some ritual slaughter over here or a shooter that may have had some kind of behind-the-scenes programming and all that's coming up. You know what? We've prayed for years. God, take us in. Let us see what's behind the curtain so that we can warn, so that we can fight against it, so that we can rescue a few more, so that we can get some victims that are demonized and under that control out and saved and healed. And that is to the glory of Christ. It is not to the glory of God to leave them on the field to die and go to hell because you're afraid. Dark side has a final solution, leads all the way to Armageddon, and we're on that train. We're on that track, world. That's where the world is heading. But there is massive intervention by God. There is the kingdom, the basileia, the rule of God. That's what I'm a part of. That's what I'm a part of. And I hope that you're a believer in Christ and you're a part of that. Now, I needed to go on with this. I felt led to do this. I felt led by the Spirit of God. Almost outraged about the glib, and I think, spiritually immaturity and failure to deal with real biblically defined conspiracy as it is also seen in contemporary development. Now, in the book of, let me just give you this. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 8, nobody knew. There was a conspiracy. There was a satanic, massive ritual operating presence right in the city of God, the nation of God, right where the prophet was. And he didn't even know. Guess who did know? God. Guess who wanted it exposed? God. Guess who, led by supernatural authority and sovereignty, led the prophet who was willing to go in and see what the dark side didn't want anybody to see? You see, the dark side doesn't want anybody to know. Watch out for those who give disinformation. Watch out for those who would push you away from finding what's really going on. Ezekiel was led to go into the cavern. God opened a door, and what was really there was verifiable by God, willed by God. Was it ugly? Was it detestable? Was it horrific? Would it scare some people right out of their britches? Well, some. You might want to quit being so scared. You might want to come up out of that unbiblical fear. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power. Right? May God's power, may God's strength, may his great power and might come upon every believer listening right now. May the Spirit of God bring a convincing and experiential empowerment of the kind of boldness that not only is intended to be given to you by the Spirit of God in Christ, but the developmental, well, boldness, growing in power, and fearlessness. That's how I see the believers in the book of Acts. And we're getting ready to kick off a training that might last about 3 to 4 months. It is the book of Acts, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. We're calling it simply Acts, subtitled Field Manual for the End of Days. It's going to probably have about 51-hour sessions. Everyone gets it free. Everyone that wants to be strong, bold, and fearless, and fruitful, and be able to accomplish something in Christ. Now, back to the shooter, Arizona. More's coming out. People are seeing now the little shrine, they've called it. Most of the secular folks didn't even understand what that was. Now, I don't know if it was the boy or the parents or who it was doing it, but it's the kind of stuff that opens the door to spirits. And if they were doing this in Santeria fashion or in Palamaombe fashion, then they were appeasing and looking for favors and opening doors to the Orishas, to the gods and goddesses. They were literally opening the doors. What was in the mix? Well, drugs. What was in the mix? Alcohol. What was in the mix? Anger. What was in the mix? Spirits. What was in the mix? Why did this boy Jared even call out the names of those who he had planned to slaughter, including a judge? A judge that was going to go against Obama. Why did he shoot the 9-year-old? Why did he shoot the rest of the people? Why did he have all those bullets if it was just, oh, I'm going to go out and kill that lady? There's far more to this than I'm just going to go out and kill that lady. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's a spiritual side to what occurred. So you're going to have to look at this with Holy Spirit discernment, asking God to unveil things. Obviously, healing and help and grace and mercy and prayers for all. But what you see there that the world is hearing about, what you see there that the nation has been struck by, that's the kind, like the VTech shooter, like the shooter in Finland, like the shooter in Berlin, like the shooter in Pennsylvania, like the shooter in Texas that walked into the church and shot people. And on and on and on you can go. Do you understand there is radical evil? And do you understand that it's more than just a boy that was politically angered? Far more than that. So People have asked me, is this one of those programmed soldiers? I can't give you that for sure. I don't know. I'd have to engage the guy. But as I told a friend of mine on the phone the other night about Timothy McVeigh, in all that was done there, whatever your opinions are, did you know that one of the top CIA psychiatrist doctors that knows what splitting, creating sub-personalities, creating assassins and reconnaissance agents, that a mind control expert went to go visit Timothy McVeigh again and again before they killed him? Did you know that? Conspiracy? God says there is. Conspiracy? God rips open the lid and gives us information about it. You better believe it. Now, here are the clues in any of these cases, and I really believe the VTech shooter fits it more than anyone. Columbine, the two individuals there, they have the same similarities, and obviously there were spiritual forces involved. But again, I haven't done the profile. I haven't engaged directly. But I wanted to give 10 indicators, and I did this yesterday. I'm going to go over them quickly right now. 10 indicators, because I got something, a body of message I got to get to you today. Listen, clues to look for if it's a programmed assassin. Number one, they have already known mental problems. People see it. People observe it. People know. Number two, they are a loner. Those who are really assassins programmed and whatever, they're meant to be. They got to be out there. They don't want anybody in contact. They got to be out there on their own until they're used. Number three, there is a psychological, you know, look for there to be some kind of bipolar, some kind of designation, some kind of, they've had interaction with psychologists. Like the VTech shooter, they find later off campus in someone's private home, the file of his psychological sessions and profile concerning, and with that, drugs. Particular psychotropics and Prozac and other drugs that can also be used and have connection to bursts of rage and anger and so forth. So look at that side of it. I'm mentioning all of these if you're going to really look at a programmed assassin. Number one, known mental problems. Number two, a loner. Number three, that they're, after the fact, you're going to find there's some kind of psychological report, drugs, sessions, whatever. Number four is, there is a self-released by the killer ahead of time, and it may be a cover story. It may be saying what they're supposed to say, and the way it works is the sub-personality inside by the handler is told to do and set up everything and get everything plotted out there and planned and leave the trail so that it will always move away from what was really going on. So usually there's going to be a self-released cover story. Number five, take a look at the background and keep asking the question, why? Why did they do it? What was it all about? And in some cases, it seems just so indiscriminate, like the VTech shooter. 60% kill rate, I was told. Slaughtering college students left and right. Was that a test? That's what some undergrounders have told me it was. Was that a test that showed the proficiency of an assassin, giving a little glimpse of the future? Look at the background and keep asking why. Number six, the gun. And how is it that individuals that are said to be either never own a gun or that they're not gun proficient, all of a sudden they are expert shooters. They are proficient. They are able. They are like a trained hyper. Look what they've done. Number seven, the indiscriminate slaughter. If the boy in Arizona, Jared, was just going to kill the lady that he was mad at, why everybody else? Why all the bullets? Why all the slaughter? Indiscriminate slaughter, like the VTech. Why all of the slaughter? Number eight. Look for the suicide issue. In most cases, the suicide issue. All programmed assassins have personalities that are programmed, demonized to commit suicide after they do the indiscriminate slaughter. Most likely he was going to do that, but he was brought down. Number 9, the cover-up afterwards. What is law enforcement not telling us? And if they bring in mind control experts like MKUltra experts and so forth to meet with this kid, all the red flags should go up again. Number 10, when there is no other clear conclusion, no other, like VTech, no other reason than a test, a slaughter, indiscriminate, a warning. Even when there are those programmed assassins, because of the complexity of programming and triggering and everything, it's very possible to be triggered ahead of time, to go rogue, and to do these things. Now, I told folks on the website, and let me say I had 6 critical issues I want to say clearly here in the last 9 minutes. Here's what we want to bring to you on, well, January the 11th, 2011, about shooters and the coming onslaught, the Red Horse issue, the taking of peace, the butchery that will occur on multinational level, and I'm telling you ahead of time, millions will die. And God will give us the insight to this, Revelation chapter 6, and how you can then begin to prepare and what you need to do so that we don't just play, you know, Christianity on a merry-go-round. Just lollygagging around. You see, Deborah in the Old Testament, she was serious. Nehemiah was serious. Daniel, he had some serious work to be done. I'm happy as a lark in Christ, but there's massive urgency inside of me based on biblical revelation, the Spirit of God inside, and what is really occurring. Don't you want to see everybody get saved? Don't you want to give a heads up in advance? Don't you want the church to wake up, be struck with revival before it collapses under the dark pressures? Here's 6 critical issues. Number 1. Spiritual warfare. It's all about that. It began in the heavenlies. It occurred in the garden. Listen, if you don't understand that spiritual warfare is real, then you're going to be blinded by the very entity that you don't want to look at, you don't want to hear about, you don't want to see, you don't want to believe in. The God of this age, small g, 2 Corinthians 4:4. He blinds minds so they cannot see. That's what he's here, to go against individuals from ever seeing Christ. He's working in a spiritual warfare capacity. Prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now is operative supernaturally in the world. A deceiving, a seducing, a counterfeit beyond anything in history among us? Yes. Heads up. What about the anger issue in Ephesians 4? Be angry and don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. And give the devil a foothold. What about the Moabite king there in 2 Kings 3, where he sacrificed his son on the wall, drew the dark powers to fall on his military soldiers so that they would be enraged to go kill Israelites? You see, do you want to read part of the Bible or all of the Bible? Do you want to live in la-la land, in denial? Or do you want to live at the cutting edge, both in knowledge and insight and preparedness and the clothing of the Spirit of God and of the Savior that stands by your side? Number 2, critical issue. Programmed to Kill. Yeah, there's a great book out there. I don't know the man. His name's Thomas McGowan. He wrote a book called Programmed to Kill. I quoted him because he's one of the only ones that brought out to the world John Wayne Gacy, serial killers, Dahmer, who lived close to me. They were multiples. They had sub-personalities. Many of them did. The Matamoros case, where they sacrificed a an American college student and boiled down his spine, and one of the cultists was wearing the college boy's spine around his neck as a power object of protection. Did you know about that? Parents found out about it, along with all the other people buried there. Are we going to just sit back and say nothing's going on? Are you crazy? Are we nuts? Are we so in fear that we don't do what we need to do? All of the soldiers, when it came to the Nephilim giant Goliath, they're hiding up in the rocks. Only one incensed because he heard the blasphemies, incensed because radical evil was pushing the warriors of the troops of Israel up into the rocks where they hid. Incensed. In the name of the God Yahweh Adonai, he went down, engaging a mammoth dark presence power, probably Nephilim, and killed it. Victory is only for those who are willing to go out on the field and be fearless. Number three, drugs do open doors, and it's prophesied in the book of Revelation that inseparably connected from demon worship and demon doorways, millions around the world will be opening doors to demons through drugs like it, South Africa, South America, ayahuasca. The Mayans did it all around, shamans. And this boy, well, it may have been the drugs that helped open doors to spirits. It may have been spirits that led him, but whatever ultimately did, there was evil design behind it. That's for sure. Number four, possible mind control. Have you ever read G.H. Estabrook's world-renowned, in the bad way, psychiatrist? Hired by the military, 1947, he wrote a book. If you don't understand programmed assassins, go read the material that declared that U.S. military, like the Germans and the Russians, learned how to create sub-personalities and create Manchurian candidates, 1947. It's been a long time. I quote him, I reveal these things in the book, The Black Awakening. Number five, satanic ritual abuse and the multiplicity in mind control. There may be now worldwide four generations up to 100 million. There may be in the United States 3 or 4 million that are intact with sleeper assassins. I'm telling you now, they are in your city, in your township, in your psych wards, sitting in the government, sitting in law enforcement, sitting in churches. Number six, we need a massive response. Revival, Christ stepping out, fearless. Well, listen, here's one person that's going to seek to do that. Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. Keep us in your prayers. We need you to keep us in support. God bless you. Good night.